As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
97 Chakras, episode 318.
The seven chakras, swirling vortices of energy, positioned throughout our body, from the base of the spine to the crown of the head. For thousands of years, this ancient wisdom has been passed on from master to disciple. What are the functions of these energy centers? And could these chakras help you unlock your destiny and find your true purpose? Welcome to My Seven Chakras, and now, your host, Aditya Jai Kumar.
What's up, Action Tribe? AJ here, host and founder of My Seven Chakras, the show where we provide you ancient wisdom, inspiring stories and insights that will help you transform your life. So if you are new to our show, then know that you are at the right place. Now, before we dive into today's episode, I'd like to thank the following people who've recently donated to our movement on PayPal: Emily, Brandy, Raquel, Nicholas, Karen, and Aaron. Thank you so much for your donation. It means a lot to us. Action Tribe, if you love our show and enjoy the episodes that I produce for you each and every week, then make sure that you give us a one-time donation to support us. The link you need is my7chakras.com/support. That's my7chakras.com/support. All right. So our guest for today is a former Italian supermodel turned best-selling author, spiritual teacher, transformational coach, environmental and animal activist, and author of 13 books. Her best-selling book, A Whole New Life, which we're going to talk about today, was first published in Italian and is now translated into 8 languages, including an English version published by Hay House India. Growing up in Africa, she often caused her parents' hearts to skip a beat when she befriended the wildlife, from lizards to crocodiles. Until this day, she remains a passionate animal rights activist. She's a master firewalking trainer, an NLP and neurosemantics trainer, and a recognized international life coach. So, Action Tribe, please welcome Lucia Giovannini.
Thank you, AJ, and thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so pleased to be here.
So, are you ready to inspire?
Yes, of course I am.
Wonderful. So thanks a lot for joining us today. And like we begin each and every episode, we start with some inspiration. So what is your favorite inspirational quote, and how do you go about applying it in your life?
So it's a quote that I'm sure you know about, because it's very famous, actually. And it's "Be the change you want to see in the world" by Gandhi. And why is it so important for me? It has to do with integrity. Mm-hmm. It has to do with, you know, walking your talk. And it doesn't mean to be perfect, because of course I'm not perfect at all. And I think, I mean, when we are still living in this body, there's always something, you know, we need to work on. And that's the beauty of life. But the idea is at least to bring what we know into practice. What there's an expression we use in neurosemantics, and it's called from mind to muscle. And it means there are so many things we know, so many concepts that we know about everything, you know, about which food is good for us, which kind of thinking is good for us, which kind of physical activity is good for us. But how much of that do we actually do? Do we actually put into practice? And also, you know, how to interact with people in order to create meaningful relationships, for example, with our family, but not only with our friends, with our colleagues, with people we meet in the street. In the spiritual arena, in the spiritual field, we talk so often about we are all one, you know, this connectedness between people. And that's a concept, that's a beautiful concept, but how much do we really, you know, embody it fully? That's why Be the Change You Wanna See in the World, it's a quote that I love so much.
Got it. So the Yo Action Tribe, if you are watching right now, make sure that you implement from mind to muscle and also be the change that you wish to see in the world. If you're watching this and if you're enjoying it so far, make sure that you hit that share button. It just takes a second, but it makes a huge difference to how many people actually end up watching the stream and this podcast. All right. So, Lucia, what inspired you to write your book, A Whole New Life?
Well, I've been working, I think it's approximately 25 years. You know, I've been working with people in different countries. Like, I'm Italian, so of course in Italy, but not just in Italy. I've been working and teaching workshops and personal development, different kind of retreats and seminars in several parts of the world, like in Europe, in Asia. And what I found, and also for private groups and also for big companies, and what I found is that there's a common element, something that we all as human beings need to go through at a certain point in our life, and it is change. Because somehow we need to face change in certain moments in our life. And change becomes the base of our problems in two ways, because we either want to change that is not happening, and then we suffer, then we get frustrated, then we get impatient, then we think, oh, I won't be happy until this and this happens, and it's a big trap, by the way. When we are in a relationship, often we want the other person to change, not us, but the other person, and this again is a big trap. On the other side, we are happy in our life and we don't want any change. We are happy in our job, in our family, but sadly, life pushes us, you know, to change. And what I'm talking about, imagine losing a job or breakup in a relationship or even, you know, in like illness or something. So those are the changes that life throws at us, and we can't do anything about that because it's out of our, you know, power zone. But at the same time, we can always change our attitude towards that. And so A Whole New Life is a book about change. It's a kind of a guide to help us face change in both ways, face unwanted change, and at the same time, create the changes we want in our life. And I think it's so important because if there's one constant in life, one certainty, it is change.
Got it. Yeah, that's so true, right? I mean, I think it's important that you brought this topic that a lot of times we want change. And most of the times we look at others to change, whether it's people around us or the government or the educational system, which is true. We want change and we crave for that difference. But you said that, you know, you sort of imply that maybe that's not what we should be doing. What we should indeed be doing is, understanding what is happening within us and change our outlook towards, you know, what's happening around us. And that that is going to be a much more effective way. And we're going to go deeper into that as well. Yes. But let's, for a moment, go back in time. How was it like growing up in Africa?
It was incredible. Actually, I grew up between Africa and Italy. So two different, completely different cultures, completely different environments. And Africa, I think I mean, it gave me this profound and deep connection with nature and animals, and which is still a central part of who I am, a central part of my work. Mm-hmm. And this beautiful landscape, nature, wild animals. So yeah, and on the other side, there was Italy, which was more, you know, on tradition and lifestyle and, yeah, that kind of environment.
Got it. So you said that you grew up in Africa. And of course, in your book, you state that things were not always perfect, right? So you did have the beautiful wildlife, but there was a lot of, I guess, violence and maybe some civil war, in a sense, when you were growing up?
Yes. Well, actually, a part of my adolescence, I lived, was spent in Nigeria. Okay. And Nigeria was not an easy country, and I think it's still not an easy country. And there, I think the period I was there, I think we had like three or four, you know, like civil wars and all kinds of riots and I think and not just there, because also the other countries I lived were Zambia and Tanzania, which were more peaceful in terms of politics, but still a lot of poverty I saw, you know, at that time. And now I think it has changed, but at that time there was really there were people dying because they didn't have enough food, or dying for illnesses, animals dying for poachers because poachers would, you know, kill them. And so I think that kind of suffering was what prompted me to then, you know, do something to possibly eliminate or at least ease the suffering in the world. And again, that's part of my mission. And I think that in terms of human suffering, most of our human suffering is totally self-inflicted. I mean, we inflict that on ourselves and on other people by our way of thinking, by our way of behaving, by our fears. Mm-hmm. And also, of course, nature suffering and animal suffering, it's all, you know, done by humans. So we can definitely change that. We need to change that.
Got it. So you had all of these things happening as you were growing up, you were in those countries, you noticed suffering, violence, malnourishment, right, for animals as well. And so that played a role in your your growing up. Now, you mentioned that you were a supermodel, right? So from being a supermodel to wanting to become a spiritual teacher, how did that transition happen?
Again, through suffering, my own suffering. So I've always been interested in spirituality since I was a child, basically. Mm. You know, I was asking a lot of questions as a child, and normal children ask, you know, why is the sky blue? Why do flowers smell? I was going around asking every adult I would meet. I would ask, what's the meaning of life? Where do we come from? Where do we go when we die? And people were very embarrassed. and so when I was like 14 years old, I started reading Freud and Jung and Eastern spirituality. So it was really something deeply ingrained in me. But then when I grew a little older, like in my last years of beginning of college, I Totally. One day I was taking a friend of a girlfriend of mine to a selection for models, and I was just there to take her. I wasn't really thinking about myself, and they selected me. So I said, well, okay. You know, and for me it was just something, you know, to pay for my education. Why not, you know, in my free time? But then it became a real profession, and I enjoyed it for a while, and the first years I think I totally forgot my spiritual part, you know. I was so immersed in that world, traveling the world, getting very well paid, and then all my friends were models, you know. I got married to a model himself. So I was totally immersed there, and I was sort of forgetting my spiritual side, my spiritual practices, everything. I sort of stopped meditating. Yeah, I would meditate once in a while, you know, at the backstage of some fashion shows, I would lead some meditations, but it was just once in a while. Before that, I used to have a regular meditation practice. And so I think at a certain moment, I mean, it was not out of the blue because it started slowly, but I started feeling depressed. Like I had it all. My life was glamorous, but I was not happy at all. Like I would wake up in the morning and look, I don't want to, you know, go to work. I don't want to do anything. I would have stayed in bed all day if I could. And even if I didn't use this word at the time, but now I recognize it was depression. And so, yeah. And so, and I think it was my soul, you know, speaking. It was my soul that was saying, hey, come on, you know, get out of there and go back to your path.
Right.
And it was not easy because, you know, as I said, I tried to speak to my husband, to other friends, but they wouldn't understand. They asked me, why? What do you need? What do you want? And I had no words to explain what you know I was going through and what I wanted. So that's where I started attending personal development workshop, and I fell in love with that area, with that arena. I went back to the university to. And I attended psychology course, etc., to start. And I started training while I was still a model. I started again, you know, my education on psychology and several other methodologies.
Yep.
And there, yeah. And then my depression got so bad that I decided to quit everything and just, you know, start this new adventure.
Got it. So it's wonderful that you sort of had this anchor point, right? Because of the experiences that you had earlier on in meditation and reading these books that you read. So that was sort of like an anchor point. And then when you went down the other route of being a model, you know, it's funny how life has a way of coming back whole circle. And then your soul was craving to go back to those experiences where it felt that deep sense of connection, I guess. And you felt a little bit empty and a little bit depressed. And it's great that you sort of went more and more back to square one. I mean, not square one, but as a whole different individual, I guess, and back into the path of spirituality. So talk to us about... Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I just wanted to add this little piece because I think it's important. I didn't recognize it as it is. What I can see now at the moment, I didn't recognize it immediately. So what I tried to do when I felt this depression is I tried just not to think about it, to distract myself, you know, with shopping, with traveling, with anything, with food, with anything, because it was too difficult for me to deal with the idea of changing my life.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that it's so common, you know, and it was only like after a couple of years when my depression got bad, then I said, okay, I need to just accept it as it is and do something about it. But for a couple of years, I was just, you know, not noticing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's a very interesting, you know, juncture to be in where you were at that point. You felt the sense of emptiness. You wanted that change, but you were doing things so that you could curb it. So how did you go about deciding what vocation or what paths to sort of transition your career into as a model? Because the spiritual field is huge, right? It's vast. And there could have been many directions that you could have taken. So how did you go about deciding? Because I think you went first into psychology, right? You started taking these classes. So if somebody is at this point, what advice do you have for them?
I went into psychology, and then that's what I had started before. So I went back to psychology, but at the same time, since I started attending personal development workshops, and one of the workshops was Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. And I loved that method so much because it was easy, very easy. Okay. But not simple, or simple but not simplistic. It was very immediate and very applicable to my life. And so that's where I started from. And of course, I'm also a Reiki master. I mean, I did many trainings, but the first one was really the Louise Hay, the Heal Your Life one. And so I saw the effects on my life. And since I felt called to help other people who were in the same situation, that's the first training I took. Mm-hmm. And then and it was also the first workshops I offered as a teacher. And how do you choose? Well, of course, there's a vast, as you said, there are so many, even in the spiritual field, not to go into psychology, because into psychology as well, there are different kinds of different specialties. But even in the spiritual field, I think one of the best way to decide is what worked for you. Because now, for example, I have six different, I founded and I still teach in six different coaching and training schools. So we teach we train in firewalking, we train people in neurosemantics and NLP and Heal Your Life by Louise A and breath work and four colors. So, but definitely, of course, one could ask, okay, how do I choose? And some people ask me, okay, how do I choose? And definitely, the method has to work for you. Because if it doesn't work for you, if you don't embody it, and then here we become to be the change you want to see in the world. If you don't embody it, if you don't use it for yourself, then you'll have difficulties in, you know, teaching it and going deep with that method. So I think it's the best way to go.
Got it. Now, in your book, of course, you go into detail about how a person can, you know, change their life. But for someone listening right now, eagerly, what is that first step towards transforming their life?
So the first step, I think, is clarity. Clarity on where we are, where a person is in terms of where we are in the several areas of our life, where we are in our work, where we are in our relationship, romantic relationship, relationship with friends and families, where we are with our health. And for me, health is not just when I speak about health, it's not just absence of illnesses, you know, no illnesses. That's not health. I mean, that is also health, but health also means vitality, clarity, focus, and so that where you are in your prosperity, relationship with money, and so on and so forth. And because too often, again, we are distracted. Our mind is elsewhere. Our mind is always, our focus is always external. So, but the thing is that it's our life. So we need to focus internally, to bring our focus inside and ask ourselves, okay, where am I? Because I think that, as I said, there is one constant in life and it's change. So the real question is not, do I want to change or don't I want to change? But in which direction am I changing? Because we are changing anyway. But are we reacting or are we responding to the changes of life, for example? Are we resisting or are we flowing? So as time goes by, are we becoming wiser, more peaceful, more loving or not? So that's the clarity I'm talking about. And these coaching questions really help to have this kind of clarity, which we can also call awareness. So the first step would be awareness. And also awareness on, okay, where I am and also where I want to go, where I want to be. What do I want to have? But before have also, I mean, we can ask what do I want to have, but also which kind of person do I want to be?
Action Tribe, challenges and difficult circumstances have a way of coming at us out of nowhere and when least expected. Is there something that is stressing you out or preventing you from achieving your goals? Because BetterHelp online counseling can definitely support you, whether you're experiencing depression, stress, or anxiety, or you're in a difficult relationship or a family conflict, or you're just not able to get good sleep. You can connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment from the comfort of your home, no matter where in the world you are. And the best part is that if you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, you can request a new one at any time at no additional charge. And My Seven Chakras listeners get 10% off your first month with discount code ACTIONTRIBE. So why not try them out, right? Go to betterhelp.com/ACTIONTRIBE. Simply fill out the questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. BETTERHELP.com/ACTIONTRIBE. That's betterhelp.com/ACTIONTRIBE.
Okay, got it. So there you go, Action Tribe. I hope you are listening, watching, taking down notes. The first step towards transforming your life is to get some clarity and to build your awareness about where you are in different aspects of your life, whether it's your health, your finances, your work, your relationship, with your intimate ones, as well as your relationship with the world around you. But just to take a stock of where you are, as well as based on where you are, where you're currently moving, so that you build that awareness and then you can, you know, take the next steps. Now, Lucia, you do mention about the three A's in your books, the three A's of transformation. Could you talk to our audience a bit about that? Because I think that is powerful.
Yeah, the three A's are related to self-esteem, which is another topic which is fundamental in transformation, because if we don't develop this self-esteem, we won't be able to, I mean, I was going to say we won't be able to create the transformations we want, but we can make some transformation still, but it's fake transformation. I don't know how to put it. It won't stick. It won't last. So self-esteem is the base, because if we don't love ourselves, then we'll do things for the wrong reasons. We'll achieve goals. Maybe we'll still achieve goals, but for the wrong reason, to prove ourselves or to prove our parents or to, you know, to hypercompensate some lack we think we have. And it's not the right energy. So the three A's are acceptance, appreciation, and awe or admiration. What does it mean? Accepting our darkest sides, accepting our failures, knowing that there's no failure really, but only feedback. It's the feedback from life, you know. If we weren't able to, you know, achieve something, we just found a way how not to do that thing. Right. So we just learned a lesson. So accepting. There's various parts of our life which we are not proud of, for example, knowing that we all make mistakes, and it's normal to make mistakes. Actually, making mistakes is the only way to learn something new. Look at children. When they learn to walk, they fall so many times, and we were all those children. I mean, so we fell and it was okay. When we were children, it was okay. Now it's no more okay. Now we can't make mistakes. And so accepting our mistakes, accepting our body for what it is, accepting our emotions, any kind of emotions. Because also, you know, when we think, I mean, in a way, I teach positive psychology and I teach positive thinking with Louise Hay and Heal Your Life. But many people have a wrong idea of what positive thinking is, because positive thinking isn't just, oh, you always have to be happy. Because of course there will be moments where we are not happy, we will be sad, we will be angry, and those are all normal emotions. Mm-hmm. So accepting any emotion, of course, the idea is not to stay in that emotion for your whole day or whole month, your whole life. Mm-hmm. So the first step is acceptance. Second step is appreciation. And what do we appreciate? We appreciate the good that it is within us, our talents, our capacities, and the good that it is in our life. Because mm-hmm. we so often give all this for granted. We don't, you know, notice what is good.
Yeah.
We only focus on what we lack, on what mm-hmm. we miss. Of course, we need whatever we focus on, it expands in our life. So if we keep on focusing on what we lack, what we miss, what we don't have, maybe also comparing ourselves to others, then we are doomed to you know, live a life of hell. Mm-hmm. And the idea with appreciation is start, you know, noticing even our small results, even our small successes. And then there is awe and admiration. And awe or admiration is not, of course, for what we do. Oh, I admire my book. No, it's not that. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that, you know, I'm able to write. I appreciate that my book helps so many people, thousands of people around the world. And this, I am so thankful for, you know, to God or spirit for having inspired me. But awe and admiration is for our soul. It's for the spark of light that it is within us. And it is not only in some of us, it's in all of us. So it's recognizing that we are part of the divine creation. And so honoring ourselves. And with that, when we really honor ourselves, criticizing ourselves. Because when we criticize ourselves, we are actually criticizing a creature of God. We are criticizing spirit. So that's in a few.
Almost immediately raise your vibration, right? Because
yes.
in saying these words, the three A's, and also feeling the emotions, you can't help but feel much better. Acceptance for everything that is happening in your life and that has transpired. Appreciation for whatever you have in life right now, and just feeling that gratitude, as well as admiration or awe for the magical creation that you are. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful three A's that we can always remember in our life. Now, you write about goal setting in your book. What have people got wrong, maybe, or what mistakes do people tend to make when it comes to goal setting?
Many. So, the first mistake has to do with the kind of goals we go about. Because there are so many people, what I notice is that so many people spend the whole life pursuing goals, you know, trying to achieve goals that are not really their goals, mm-hmm. are their family goals, are right. they like, because their family, in our family, we are all doctors, so we expect you to be a doctor, you know, yeah. and if we want to prove our dad or our mom that we are worthwhile, then we'll be fantastic doctors. Yeah, except that being a doctor is not something that our soul was meant to do. It's not something that our soul really wants. And this is just, you know, or a lawyer or an engineer. This is just an example. And so we really need to be careful and feel those goals and ask ourselves, if I could do anything, if I had no pressure from anyone, from the society, from my parents, from my spouse or partner, from anyone, what would I do? If I had a magic wand and could, you know, magically just do like this, and I could change anything in the world, in my life, what would I change? So in a way, we need to think outside the box, because if we stay in the box, then even the goals risk to be, you know, like not really our goals. Recently, in a whole new life workshop here in Italy, there was a 30 years old boy who, who just got a degree in engineering. Mm-hmm. But he didn't care about engineering. And he said, right. It has been so difficult for me. Now I need to, you know, to get a career as an engineer because I know, the salary is very good, etc. But if I think about my life like that, I get, you know, stomachache. And his passion was playing guitar. And he was actually playing guitar during a break in the workshop. And he's a fantastic guitar playing and singer. So can you imagine? I mean, because of the expectation from his family,
yeah,
he pursued, and also from society, pursued that career.
Yeah.
And in fact, after the seminar, he went back to taking guitar lessons, and a few days ago he had his first performance as a guitarist. And of course, his family is upset, but he's totally happy. So,
right.
So this is the first. And then there are a few other mistakes. If you want, I can talk about that.
Yeah.
Another mistake is putting too much pressure on ourselves for those goals, like setting a goal and then continuously. And I know it's not easy. Continuously, you know, asking, okay, it hasn't happened yet. It has. What day is it today? Okay, it has. You know, because there's a fine line between putting all your energy in your goal, which is okay, and becoming attached, super attached to the outcome.
Right.
So the idea, and it's the attachment that creates suffering. So it's the idea is to set your goals with all your intention and all your energy. Do everything you can do. It's in your power. I mean, to get to that goal and then let it go. Mm-hmm. And something that I found very useful is to, when you create a goal or when you use an affirmation, is to say this or something better.
Mm-hmm.
For me and for all and for everyone involved.
Right.
Because I mean, we can see things only from a certain perspective, but from the perspective of God, universe, spirit, whatever you want to call him or her, Buddha, Allah, Krishna, whatever, it doesn't, I mean, we all have different, you know, names for the divine. From the point of God, of spirit or God, things are different from how we see them. And sometimes not reaching our goal is the best gift we can have, we can receive. But I mean, in that moment, we are not aware of that. So, you know, giving a little bit of space and trust, that's the other thing, you know, develop, setting our goals and then letting go and developing trust in the universe.
Got it. So really quickly, we've got some listeners. Cheryl is saying hello. Amina is saying, focus on your goals, not that of others. Don't attach too closely to your own goals, right? And then just let it go.
Yes, Amina. Now,
a quick question for you, Lucia. I mean, you gave the example of the man who's 30 years of age and he's an engineer, was initially focused very closely towards what people wanted him to be. And then he realized that he has his own passion of becoming a guitarist or moving in that direction. And he was 30, so it's not, you know, that old. But there are people who are older, maybe 45, 47, right, who've, you know, focused pretty much a large chunk of their life towards a particular direction. But now they have this yearning, this calling to move in a different direction. So what advice do you have for them? Because, you know, from one perspective, it might feel like, you know, their life is wasted or they've wasted so many years, or, you know, fruitful years, like they say, of their life. What advice do you have for them in terms of maybe switching directions?
Yeah, well, actually, it's a very good question because it happens very often. In my experience, when we reach age of 50 around, there's an energy shift. Okay, for women, it's also menopause, which brings about a lot of unresolved emotions and unresolved energy.
Right.
But it brings it a I mean, all those things surface in order to be resolved and in order to start a new life. And for men, also, it's like, you know, looking back at your life and stopping and looking inside, which normally most people don't do it during, you know, their previous years because they are too focused on children, family, career. And so it happens quite often, you know, that around that age, people want to shift their lives. And I think that life always brings us precisely where we are meant to be. So even for me, just to give you an example, of course, one could ask, okay, what, you know, being a mother, an international model and a spiritual teacher and a writer has in common. So,
right.
You know, I could have thought, okay, I wasted my time there. Okay. Except, you know, earning good money, which is fine. But except that I wasted my time there, you know, if I had continued my spiritual call since, you know, I was a teenager, if I had continued instead of just continuing it in order to go to the fashion world and then change everything. But if I had continued it, I would be much further in my spiritual quest, in my spiritual path. But I don't think that's the case. I think that even, you know, walking several paths in our life, being an engineer and then a guitarist, or my husband, my husband was an international lawyer, an attorney, and then in his probably 30, when he was 40, around 40, changed everything and he became a coach, a life coach.
Right.
Of course, I mean, you don't waste your time. I mean, you don't waste your experiences. You keep those experiences, life experiences with you, and you add that quality, that energy to your new life.
Right.
So it's not wasted at all.
Got it.
So there you go, Action Tribe. If you are listening, watching, right, this session, no matter where you are in life, at what juncture you are, and no matter what you feel like, maybe you're 45 or 55 even, or even 60, it's never too late to change. Everything is a divine opening. And if you're feeling that, then it's probably time that you can make a shift or a change in your life. So don't feel like it's too late or it's too early. Now is the right moment. Lucia, this is an important question which I, you know, come across through my conversations with people in my community, is that many people have goals, right? They've got visions in their mind, but most people aren't able to transform these goals that they have in their mind into reality. So how do we ensure that our goals indeed become a reality without fail? Now, I know there's one extreme of thinking about the goals every day, but how do we ensure that we are not going towards the other extreme? And ensuring that, you know, these goals become or are manifested into reality.
Yeah. So what we do, for example, in a whole new life method, we walk through the whole axis of change, which are the several steps that we need to go through, make sure to go through if we really want to achieve our goals. So the first I already talked about is awareness, because if we are not aware, then we can't change anything. And then the second one is motivation. So we need to have enough motivation to move, to leave our comfort zone.
Right.
Because leaving our comfort zone is not easy. It's scary. Mm-hmm. It has been scary for me and it's scary for almost everyone. So how do you leave it? I think there's a question, a coaching question that helped me tremendously. And I still use it when, you know, I want to make a change and I'm in that step. I'm already aware, but I need to go through, you know, to gain enough. Motivation is like the fuel we put in our car. And the question is, what is the cost I'm paying to stay in this situation? Because normally we ask ourselves, what is the cost of leaving this job, this relationship, this blah, blah. But the question we should really ask is, what's the cost of stay for my whole life here in this job, which I don't like, in this relationship, in this city, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So once we gather enough motivation, then it's time to take a decision and create, because that's the step that most people skip, you know. Take a decision, which means make a commitment with ourselves and possibly also to another people, you know, because when we commit to another person, we become accountable. In fact, in our workshop, in my workshop, what I do is there's a moment where people pair up and they commit to each other. So they just not, they also commit with me, but they also commit to each other. So then they become accountable to start creating their change. Right. And so it's decision and creation. And creation is a very important phase, because many methods just, you know, teach you to visualize your goals and feel the intensity, which is good, But most of the times it's not enough. So creation has two parts, internal creation. So you need to, how can I put it, to create a strong belief system that will help you. For example, if you, like me, a belief system I had is that work is something work and passion are two different things, okay?
Right.
So work has to be hard. Passion is nice, so you can't put them together. You can't you can't make your passion your work and earn from it.
Yeah.
So I had to reframe, meaning change that belief. So look at the belief. In this part, you need to look at the belief you have and start changing the belief if it's not helping you, if it's not supporting you in your and a belief may be I'm not good enough, I don't have, you know, enough resources, enough time, etc., etc. And then there's the external change, and the external change is pure action, because we can't just think about our goals. We need to start taking actions toward our goal. And the easiest way is to start with small actions, small steps, because if we wait, you know, until the big step, like, for example, when I wanted to write a book, of course, I started thinking, oh, who am I? You know, I'm not good enough, blah, blah, blah. And then I worked on this belief. And then in order to change them, I put together my experience and my intention is to write a book that will really be helpful for people. And then people will decide, you know, it's not for me to decide. But so I changed this internal belief, and then I started to create my action plan. And if I had thought of writing 300 pages, wow, it would be, you know, too difficult. But like one page a day, then it's doable. So break up the goals into small steps and take a step a day. And that is really something that helps you with achieving your goal. And then the last part is solidification, but that comes afterwards, you know. And solidification has to do with noticing every result you have, even the smallest one, because we tend to notice what the results we don't have, and so we lose motivation. Instead, to keep the motivation up is to congratulate ourselves, you know, on our successes, even small successes, and keep on refining our action plan.
Got it. So there you go, Action Tribe, some powerful stuff that is shared right now. It's important to, as we are moving towards our goal and, you know, creating a plan towards achieving it, to identify what are the underlying belief systems or mindset limits that you might have, or associations that you might have about that particular goal, about that vision. Chances are that you might have a structured plan, but if your mindset is limited, then you might not be able to get there. So it's about, you know, again, coming back to building awareness about your mindset, your belief systems, things that have been ingrained within you maybe since childhood. And then the other interesting part that Lucius shared was not getting overwhelmed by a huge, you know, goal, which can seem very overwhelming initially, but to break it down, chunk it down into small steps that you can take day by day, each and every day, so that you see momentum and progress towards your vision. Now, Lucia, could you talk to us about the chemical dopamine? are the various chemicals that influence our everyday life, because our listeners are very intrigued by all of this.
Well, dopamine is a very interesting hormone, because it is released when we complete something or when we feel a gratification.
Okay.
But so, for example, we eat junk food typically, and we get a release of dopamine. But what happens, that the problem is that when we work towards our goal, we don't see the results immediately. So that's why we don't feel a rush of dopamine. We feel a rush of dopamine only at the end, when we get to the, when we achieve our goals, our goal. But I mean, the time to achieve our goal may be 1 year later, 2 years later.
Yeah.
And if for 2 years we haven't, you know, felt that rush of dopamine, the risk is giving up. And instead of, for example, let's take the example of writing a book. Mm-hmm. If you write a book and your goal is writing a whole book, then the rush of dopamine you feel only when you see the book published or when you sign a contract with the publisher.
Yeah.
But it's too late, because before that you need to be writing and writing and writing and have enough motivation to keep on writing, you know. And so how, and in my book I talk precisely about that, how to trick our mind so that we use the dopamine cycle to our advantage. So the idea is, instead of setting a goal to write a book, I mean, you know you want to write a book, but the goal is one page a day. So one page a day, done, completed, dopamine rush. Next day, one page, done, completed, dopamine rush, et cetera, et cetera. Even 3 lines a day, okay? It doesn't matter. The smaller, the better. Then if you are able to do more, do more. But like, for example, if you do it with I don't know, write your resume, write your new job presentation, you know, or your website, for example. If you think about creating a whole new website, it's like a daunting activity. It's like months of, you know, writing and coding and everything. But if your goal is 3 lines, okay, half a page, or one banner, or, you know, small things, then you get the dopamine rush just for that. And then it's done. You know, when you have a to-do list and you click a tick, you tick done, you feel good. Yes, that's dopamine.
Got it. So there you go, Action Tribe. It's all about understanding how our complex mind works and then gamifying the process and rewarding your mind so that you make that consistent progress towards your vision and your goal. But ultimately, it's about chunking things down and being smart about it so that you are able to achieve all your deepest desires and dreams. So, Lucia, based on what we've shared today, and you've shared a lot with our audience, what is that one action step that you'd like to share with our listeners?
So, one action step is, do something you're afraid to do. Every day, try to challenge yourself, even a small thing, okay? Like, I don't know, asking a favor to a stranger in the street, or say no to someone, I don't know, or go outside. There was one lady in a workshop, in a retreat. I lead retreats in Thailand and Bali. So there was one lady from Northern Europe, and she was very nice, very, you know, well-dressed. And she, in her own life, when she used to, I mean, go outside, she always used to wear makeup. Even her husband had never seen her without makeup. I don't know how she did it. I mean, because it was, but she said that she waited for her husband to go to sleep, and then she took her makeup away, you know, and then she would wake up 20 minutes before her husband and put makeup on. And so what she did for the whole retreat is no makeup. And for her, it was such, you know, a liberation. So do something, even a little thing you are afraid of every day.
Got
and this will train you to be more courageous. So when you you're faced with difficult decisions or with you know life-changing decision, then you're already trained, because you train with easy things like you know ask a favor or these ones, those small things. So you'll be trained when you face biggest decisions.
That's amazing. So Action Tribe, do something each and every day that you're afraid of. Action Tribe, to access the show notes for this episode, visit my7chakras.com/318. my7chakras.com/318. And if you're enjoying this podcast, especially on your iPhone, so make sure you hit the subscribe button on your phone, because it'll ensure that you don't miss out on any new exciting episode that we release. Once again, to save time, make sure that you hit the subscribe button on your phone. If you plan to be less than you are capable of, I warn that you will be deeply unhappy for the rest of your life. This is a quote by Abraham Maslow. Action Tribe, broadly speaking, there are two types of pain. One pain is a difficulty you experience of not having hit your goals or achieved your vision, even though you've been at it for a few months or even years. The other type of pain is the pain of regret, of not even making an attempt towards achieving your vision or your goals because you felt that maybe you weren't capable of change, or maybe you preferred a life of safety and certainty. From what I'm learning, the pain of regret is the greatest pain of all, because it implies that you might have to go to the grave with all your treasures and your ideas and your gifts within you. So if you're listening to this podcast right now, I know that you have been, you know, deeply longing and craving to be part of something larger than yourself, of achieving that goal that is deep within your mind. Have faith, like we're learning today, because it is possible. You are stronger, braver, and smarter than you are given to believe. And don't ever give up, because like Abraham Maslow said, if you plan to be any less than you're truly capable of, then you will be deeply unhappy for the rest of your life. So, Lucia, talk to us about a time when you experienced a major challenge. You know, what situation were you in at that point, and then what steps did you take to overcome it?
Well, I think there are many who comes to mind, and I would say one major challenge was when I left my marriage, because when I left my job as a model, I also left two companies I had established together with my ex-husband, who was a model as well. It was a fashion, like a school for models and a company in fashion to organize fashion shows. And then I also left, all of that, and I also left my marriage. And all of that together, you know, and I decided the best time to do it, Christmas Eve. So I was totally alone, walking in the streets of Bologna and looking at happy families, happy couples. And I was there alone. And plus, I had done that to myself. I mean, it was not that I had been, you know, like left by my husband or no, I had decided to give it all up. And so it was not easy, because I started doubting myself. I started saying, because everybody around me, like my friends and family, used to say, go to see a psychiatrist. You have some real problems, you know, this behavior, giving all this up for what, you know, and for something that in Italy at that time did not exist, because coaching in Italy was unknown at that time. What did I do? I prayed a lot. I prayed for guidance, and also I asked myself another very interesting and useful coaching question: what is the worst that can happen? Right. You know, am I going to die? No, probably I'm not going to die of, you know, pain, of emotional pain. No, I'm not going to die. Am I going to be broke? Well, maybe, you know, because if I am not able to start a new business out of my coaching practice, maybe. But I mean, I still have two legs, two hands, two eyes, and I can invent something. So I'm probably not even going to be so broke. And so what's the worst thing that, I mean, I will end up alone, yes, for a while, but then I will find new friends. I will find, you know, maybe a new partner. So I can survive this. So that's how I actually survived that moment.
Got it. And based on that, what is that one major life lesson that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, that rock bottom teaches you lessons that peak moment cannot teach you. And that, you know, dark moments are actually the best lessons. I don't want to say are the best moments because actually they're very painful. And so I don't want anybody to look for that moment. But I mean, we are so scared of dark moments. But in reality, there's so much nurture there. There's so much to learn there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And look, I mean, even in history, I quoted Gandhi, you know, at the beginning of our conversation. But if Britain had, you know, behaved so badly in India, probably Gandhi would have just been a lawyer like many others and nothing more.
South Africa.
Yeah, in South Africa, exactly. Or, I don't know, even Harry Potter. Without, you know, Voldemort, Harry Potter wouldn't have, you know, gotten in touch with his talents and special gifts. He wouldn't just know that. So in this sense, you know, don't be afraid of dark moments because they are there for a reason. They are there to make us stronger, to put us more in contact with our gifts.
So there you go, Action Tribe. What we're learning today is not to be afraid of the dark moments in your life, even though you might find yourself in a dark moment. Instead, embrace it, because the truth is that you need to ask yourself, what is the worst that could happen? And if you really are honest with yourself, then you would realize that there's a lot of good things that are happening in your life, and that very light in the presence of your life can bring you out of there. Action Tribe, I hope you enjoyed today's session so far, and I'm sure that you have a thing or two that you can work on immediately after this episode ends. No matter how difficult things seem from your vantage point, just know that you have it in you to achieve your dreams and goals. You may, you know, face some difficulty. You might have some traumatic memories in your mind that keep you, right, keep reminding you of what you've gone through. So it's not the memory itself, but the meaning that you give it, the association that you have towards it, that gives it power over you. So it's time to address those emotional stuck patterns so that you are set free. It's time to let go of things that no longer serve you so that you can use that energy to fuel your vision and to zoom towards your goals. You, my friend, have the power to change how you look at your past. And more importantly, you have the power to turn a brand new page and start afresh. Because just like Marcus Aurelius once said, if something external hurts you, it's not the thing that disturbs you, but it is what you think about it, right? So, by the way, these wonderful quotes I've picked from Lucia's book. So we're going to talk about how you can get your own book as well. But for the time being, we're going to move into the wisdom round, which includes four questions so that you have that piece of wisdom that you can act upon. So, Lucia, what is the best piece of advice that you have ever received?
Be yourself. Be yourself no matter what. Even if, you know, your opinion is counter intuitive, or even if your opinion is not, you know, the one is not taken so well. So for example, just to give you an example, I'm vegan and I have been first vegetarian, then vegan since I was 9 years old, okay? So for a long, long time. And of course, when I work, especially with companies, with big corporates, it's not easy, you know, we're eating together and I always have, you know, to defend in a way my position. Mm. And at the beginning, I would say, no, I just don't feel like eating meat. I wouldn't just, you know, openly say, well, I'm vegan. Why? But now, since many years, I do it and I don't care. I mean, and they can think whatever they want. And especially here in Italy, and I don't know if the same for other places in the world, but there's a kind of you know, I mean, vegan are challenged by the institutions because, you know, so yeah, be yourself. Be yourself. If there's something that is important for you, don't hide it. Just be yourself.
Yeah. There's always this one or two people in the group who want to challenge the vegans, right? There's always this, you know, discussion between whether it's good to be vegan or whether it's good to be, you know, grass-fed or, you know, whatnot. Yeah. That's one of the biggest arguments there is. But it's great that you can stand up for yourself and just be yourself in front of strangers as well as people that you love. Now, if you could turn back time and spend 1 hour with someone who is currently living or dead, who would it be?
Ah, that's a good one. So Margaret Mead, you know, the great anthropologist.
Margaret Mead, sounds very familiar.
Yeah, she was a great anthropologist. And since my background is also it's in psychology, but also anthropology, psychoanthropology. Yeah. And I've always been very, fascinated by, you know, the wisdom, the traditional wisdom in many tribes and countries that were not so spoiled by globalization and civilization. And of course, I mean, in our age, with this globalization, it's not so easy to find. But in her age, last century, she was really, I mean, she had really incredible contacts and incredible teachings from those people. So,
Right. The reason why I felt her name was familiar because I remember that she, you know, phrased a quote, something along the lines of, you know, we feel that individuals might not be able to change the world, but a small group of people are the only ones that can indeed have been changing the world. So, you know.
And I totally agree. And I totally agree. Because that's why, I mean, even, you know, now with technology, I mean, of course, you can have a bad use of technology and you can become dependent. But at the same time, you can have a good use of technology, like this podcast, for example, you know, where we gather together, we exchange ideas, we exchange stories, and then we live enriched. And in our, we go back to our communities, and it's like all of us are together in all of our communities.
Absolutely.
And we can definitely change things.
So what is that thing you do in the morning or maybe in the evening before you sleep that has improved the quality of your life?
So I do several things. Like in the morning, as soon as I wake up, I do meditation. Okay. I do two kinds of meditation, which I put together. One has to do with breathing because I've been studying, you know, the power of breath work, and I also teach breath work. And so it's a kind of breathing meditation that helps activate the parasympathetic system, so the relaxation response. And then there's another meditation I do, which is my usual meditation with mantras. So I do all of that, and it's 7 minutes per two, so 14 minutes the first one and 14 minutes the second one. And then I do another breathing technique, which comes from Wim Hof. I don't know if you ever heard of him. Yeah. So I do that as well. So that's my, and then I do some affirmation. So that's my practice in the morning. And then I normally do some yoga when I don't work, when I have time. I do like an hour of yoga. And then I walk my dog because he also needs some of my attention. And in the evening, I read some inspirational books, or depending on what time it is, it may be a longer time or just, you know, a few lines. But yeah, and then I normally set an intention for or a prayer, send out a prayer for my sleep.
Got it. That's wonderful. And I'm sure many of our listeners are taking notes in terms of what particular step they can incorporate into their morning or
evening routine. That's wonderful. Now, if you could recommend one book for our listeners, what would it be?
Bhagavad Gita. Okay. Well, it's a book I love. Also, autobiography of a yogi from Yogananda. And there's a beautiful version of the Bhagavad Gita from Ram Dass, which is called Path to God. And because I think that the Gita, if you read it, it's not easy to understand. Mm-hmm. But Ram Dass, in this book, Path to God, does a beautiful explanation, full of, you know, stories, and he translates the Gita into everyday teachings.
Wow, wonderful. I love, I love the stories and the lessons that one can learn from the Gita. And there's so much, right? It's so much information in there. And the beauty is that they're all stories. So it's easier to remember as opposed to, esoteric information that you have to memorize. If it's a story, humans can remember so easily. So Action Tribe, would you like to receive one free audiobook? That's right, because audible.com is offering all our listeners, everyone, one free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial via Audible. So to get that audiobook and start listening, right, to your book, not reading, listening to your book, then go to my7chakras.com/free book. That's my7chakras.com/free book. I'm not particularly sure if this book is available on Audible, but you can check it out and claim your free book. So Lucia, thank
yet,
you.
It's not yet available on Audible, unfortunately, but it's hope not, okay. It will be.
Okay, got it. So Lucia, thank you so much for joining us today. Before you go, tell us one thing that you are grateful for and how we can find you online.
Yeah, sure. So I am grateful I'm grateful for my life. So in general, I'm grateful for my husband, my parents, my dog. I'm grateful for my everyday life. And I'm grateful to be alive because it's not, you know, again, it's not for granted. I also have where to find me. My website, which is my name, basically, luciagiovannini.com. So it's luciagiovannini.com.
Okay.
And there's also a free gift for you, for the listeners. It's a 5-part video series challenge. And the idea, and it's taken from the Access of Change, from my method, A Whole New Life. And it actually, these 5 videos challenge will walk you through creating a true goal, the right way to create a goal. And you can use it for anything. I mean, lose weight or eat better or start meditating or start a new job or anything you want. I put it together because how many times we have sworn to ourselves that we would change, and maybe we did change for a while, but then we slipped back into old habits. So because we missed some of the steps. And in these 5 videos, I'll guide you through the whole steps.
And the link for that is?
It's luciagiovannini.com/5-day-transformation-challenge. But perfect. I'll send it also to you so you can.
Got it. We'll add the link in the show notes. Action Tribe, if you've listened so far, it means that you're really enjoying today's episode. And if you feel different, you feel optimistic, you feel like you've learned something new, then please support our podcast. I've created a donate button so that you can choose your favorite number and support us. The link, my7chakras.com/support. That's my7chakras.com/support. If you're on Instagram, take a screenshot of this episode and tag me on Instagram so that I can share your story with our community. My handle is @my7chakras. That's @my7chakras. And finally, if you've got a question, comment, observation or an experience that you'd like to share about this episode or about anything in regards to My7Chakras, you can write to me at aj@my7chakras.com. That's aj@my7chakras.com. Lucia, thank you so much for coming on our show, sharing your story. giving us these tools and these ways to look at life so that we can not just envision our goals, but also take measures towards achieving it and manifesting it into reality. And that's something that everyone over here is wanting to do. So thanks a lot for sharing all of that wisdom and taking us one step closer to a human revolution.
Thank you, AJ. Thank you very much. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for listening to My Seven Chakras at mysevenchakras.com. That is mysevenchakras.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.